Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a recap edition Monday morning of the Utopia Football Podcast, recapping yesterday's horrific, disastrous 32-27 loss by the Houston Texans at the hands of the Tennessee Titans. And we've got to relive this together, man. It's therapeutic. We're all in this together. 7-5 season that feels like a 4-8 season right now because of the way the Texans have been playing over the last month and a half. So we'll get into it here. A quick recap episode. I'm Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. On Monday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. I'm recording this Monday morning just after Seth and I finished up on the air. A heated edition of Payne and Pendergast today. Not Seth and I at each other, but Seth and I collectively heated at the Houston Texans. And for the first time since he started as the head coach, I'm a little heated with DeMeco Ryans. We'll get into that here in this podcast episode and a whole lot more. A quick reminder to hit that subscribe button if you could. Subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate that when people give the TV in the background's going crazy over there. My wife put Christmas cheer up on the big screen back there, a nice little fireplace, but it's from YouTube. So some commercial just played over my shoulder. If you're watching on YouTube, that was pretty funny. Got the Christmas tree over this shoulder and the TV over that shoulder. A little picture of Santa Claus over there. It's all good, man. I still got the holiday spirit going. I got the holiday cheer going. I'm feeling good. The Texans are not going to ruin my holiday joy, but they did ruin my Sunday yesterday. So we'll get into that. Hit the subscribe button, though, and you'll get the podcast automatically. If you're just finding the podcast, really appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing it with friends. Appreciate everybody who has come out and come in from out of the country. I got to acknowledge some people. Dennis, who came in from Budapest with his family to a Texans game, stopped by to visit the pregame show. Of course, France in the north and his family, technically international, Canada. So not, you know, not like European transatlantic travel, but, you know, France, I still love you. It's still a long trip. You're still making the effort. And then yesterday, Dario from Monterey stops by with his little son to say hi at the podcast. Man, that's really cool. I love this stuff. I love the little community we've created here, mostly due to the mailbag. That's your guys' voice. So let's give a reminder for that. How about we do that? HOUmailbag@gmail.com if you want to hit me with an email. And who knows, if you send me enough emails, we become lifelong friends. That seems to be the way it's working out for some of us. So HOUmailbag@gmail.com. I think, too, I've made an executive decision on the podcast and the schedule. And I think this is just going to work out better for me in terms of the craziness that my Sundays are between pregame for the Texans, the game, postgame, write for the Houston Press afterwards, get home at 8 o'clock at night. I think I'm still going to do 3 a week, but I think we're going to podcast the recap on Mondays like I'm doing today. So we'll do the recap episode on Monday. I'm going to push the mailbag to Wednesday. So it gives you guys an extra day to get me an email. Tuesday will probably be the day that I dig in and gather the ones that I want. But the episode I will record and drop on Wednesday. And then we're going to stick with the preview episode dropping on Friday morning. That's a more, I think, easily consistent schedule here for the balance of the season. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Obviously, Christmas week is going to be a total clusterfuck because of the holidays and the Ravens game right in the middle of the week. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I think the Tuesday mailbag is going to become the Wednesday mailbag. So just a heads up, if you're looking at your phone on Tuesdays, like, where's my mailbag? Where's my mailbag? I think I'm going to do it on Wednesdays. I did it Wednesday last week, and that seems to work better. I think in terms of content, it works better. And I think just having that little extra lag time to allow you guys to get a few more emails in is going to work. So just an administrative note. So in the meantime, let's get into this game yesterday. And if you missed any of my takes on Payne and Pendergast, that podcast I'm sure is up by now. Seth and I weighing in on yesterday's game. Most of what I talked about on the show, I'll hit here and probably a little bit more. We'll do it four winners, four losers style from yesterday's game. And let's just preface before we get into the winners and losers. I think that was the most disastrous loss of the D'Amico Ryans era. I know it wasn't the most lopsided loss, but it was at home. It was a game you had to have to keep to really keep the necessary distance between you and the Colts in the division. It's Will Levis, man. Like, you let Will Levis carve you up. It's the Titans. You let Amy Adams Strunk waddle in here and get a win. So, and it was a game that you had a lead 7-0 18 seconds into the game. So this has just been, it's been a theme all season long. It's really miraculous that this team is 7-5. Normally, if when you say that, that's a credit to the head coach. When you say, man, it's a miracle this team's 7-5, because the implication would be that the head coach is pushing some buttons and doing some things to allow lesser talent to overcome that talent gap and go 7-5 and lead the division. This is quite the opposite. This team plays like a poorly.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Coach team. I don't think they're poorly coached because I think D'Amico Ryans, I think, is a good coach. I know he's a good defensive coordinator, and therein may lie the problem that it may just be, as some of you have complained, and I've chosen to ignore or just deny, that D'Amico Ryans might be a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. I will say this. This is a crisis situation for the Texans right now. What's going on offensively with this team? What's going on in terms of overall discipline? What's gone on all year long with the energy level with this team, where they allow teams to crawl back into games, or in the case of yesterday, allow a lesser team to build a big lead. Now you're scrambling to come back. And the second half problems offensively are just inexcusable. They're a disgrace. So D'Amico's got to fix this. And I'll talk about that in a little bit as we do four winners and four losers. But I don't know if you guys agree with me or not. I thought that was the worst loss. I'll go back through and do the digging on the losses. D'Amico now sits at the 7-5 plus 10-7. He's 17-12 as a head coach. Look, considering what he inherited, that's a good record. Considering how they upgraded this offseason, 7-5, not good enough. Not good enough. And the offensive side of the ball, you are starting to ruin what has been and should be the biggest hope for this team, and that's CJ Stroud. Some of this is on CJ. But a lot of this is on Bobby Slowik and D'Amico Ryan. So let's, without further ado, get into that. I'm curious your thoughts. If you do email the show, do you agree with me on that? That this is the worst loss? I know margin-wise it wasn't, but considering how they lost the game, who the opponent is, the stakes, the fact that it was a home game, especially right before the holiday, sending everybody into Thanksgiving feeling like they want to puke, worst loss of the D'Amico Ryan's era. So we'll get in, and that's Will Levis. I mean, just so many reasons. So we'll get into all that, but let's start with the winners and losers and not count them down. Winner number four, Nico Collins. Nico Collins' return has been nice. It's good to have him back. It's his second game back since the hamstring injury. Obviously it wasn't enough of a cure-all to get a win for the Texans or to cure their second half ineptitude offensively. But if CJ, and CJ took the hickey on this one, but that illegal shift penalty, CJ took the blame for that in the fourth quarter. Nico had a 33-yard catch and run that would have been a touchdown in the fourth quarter had it not been for a penalty. So now two games back, Nico has had two catches for touchdowns nullified. He did get into the end zone on a short red zone possession, finished with six catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, that's for Nico. That's a day at the office. It's a really solid day. Six catches, 93 yards. And again, another one called back. Like, Nico should have two 100-yard games if Laremy Tunsil could just not illegally move downfield and if the offense could keep from having two guys shifting at the same time. This team is a clown operation right now. At least they were yesterday. But Nico Collins is a bright spot, and he always will be a bright spot. It's really, really good to have him back. The rare opposing team winner at number three. I got to give credit to Will Levis, man. Battle of Will Levis and CJ Stroud, and Will Levis won the battle. And that is just, it hurts to say. It tastes bad to say in my mouth. But who knew, man, that Will Levis would be the one listed as a winner when we asked this question. But he was asked the question, actually, where have you improved this season? And I thought it was interesting. He kind of chuckled and sarcastically said, you know, fewer underhand interceptions, fewer chest passes. His turnovers had been horrific earlier this year. Now, he did throw the pick six to Jimmy Ward, which could have really been a dagger here. But, of course, the Texans don't score any other touchdowns in the second half. So Jimmy Ward's pick six is just a nice personal little reel that he can put up on Instagram or keep for to show his kids someday. We had Jimmy Ward on the postgame show. He was excellent, by the way. I'm making into that here. I'm guessing a lot of you heard that, and I'll hear a lot about that in the mailbag. But overall, Levis was really good. 123 passer rating, had four huge chunk plays on the day, won a 70-yard catch and run to the tight end, Okonkwo, a 63-yard pass to Calvin Ridley over Jimmy Ward that set up a touchdown. Will Levis was really, really good yesterday, man. And I'll be honest, like, I wouldn't mind some of these quarterbacks that got drafted into the division, like Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, to show something and become the guy with those teams and keep some heat on the Texans, man. I don't know how much of this them being so lackluster lately is that they're in the division and they're in this division and the division's so bad that they know they're going to be in the postseason. But good for Will Levis yesterday. I'm not a huge fan of the Mayo commercials. But he was really, really good. He was the better quarterback yesterday. So got to give him his props on that. Numbers two and one on the winners. And these are really the only guys I can say true winners for the Texans, aside from the aforementioned Nico Collins. But Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And I can't really separate these two. So I'm going to put them together at number two and number one on the list and talk about them collectively. They are by far the best thing the Texans have going for them right now. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. And really, it's been Danielle Hunter while Will missed a couple games with the ankle injury. But it's a shame, man. This team, this organization is used to squandering Pro Bowl seasons from elite edge rushers. Just ask J.J. Watt, whose whole career was squandered here amidst playoff failure and Bill O'Brien. I hate that the seasons they're both having right now, in particular Danielle, who's been just on fire of late. He's now in double-digit sack territory after the three yesterday. I mean, his box score yesterday, three sacks, three QB hits, five TFLs, just all over the place, and getting them at some of the most important times. One of his TFLs came, if you recall, after Kyahni Fairbairn misses the 28-yard field goal, and the Titans get the ball back. Titans get one first down. The game is over. They get a 7-yard run on first and 10 to make it second and three at about their own 35 or 40-yard line. The very next play, Danielle Hunter gets a 3-yard TFL, and that puts them in third and six. So now they can't run. They've got to throw. Will Levis throws incomplete, and the Texans get the ball back. I mean, I can't say enough good things. Danielle Hunter has had a great season and has come up in some of the biggest spots for this team. I think of the forced fumble against New England right out of the shoot at halftime, the sack last week in the Cowboys game on the second play of the second half of that game. Danielle Hunter's been excellent. So has Will Anderson. He had two sacks yesterday. So the two of them, easily the best thing this team has going for it right now. Easily. And yesterday, they might have been the only good thing, the Texans sack. They had eight sacks. But other than that, they allowed a 100-yard rusher. They allowed Will Levis to throw for almost 300 yards. Had it not been for the eight sacks, who knows what this game might have looked like. So those are winners number two and one. Now for the losers. Let's start with loser number four, Kyahni Fairbairn, who's been, by and large, outstanding this season. He's cooled off a little bit of late. He did have a 54-yard field goal yesterday to set the record for most 50-plus yard field goals in a season. So 12, by the way, the number of 50 yards or more. However, if you just flat out shank a game-tying 28-yard field goal, you will be in the losers column for this. These are the rules, and they're unflinchingly rigid. Sorry, Kyahni, you are a loser from Sunday. Not a loser overall and a very nice person, but for Sunday's game, you're loser number four. Loser number three, Texans run game. And by proxy, Bobby Slowik, who, if I had to suggest, I would say go back to wearing the ball cap. Bobby went sans ball cap yesterday. I don't know if it's because he looks like he's 15, but I would go back to the ball cap if I were Bobby. And this is somebody who, you know, I'm fully bald, so I'm sitting here critiquing people's hair, but I didn't realize, man, I'd never seen Bobby without a hat on. Like, he's got kind of a serious nerd hairline work in there. So I'd go back to the ball cap. When the Texans run the ball well, it's usually due to Joe Mixon's individual greatness. Other than the week one game against the Colts, where it looked like they figured some things out. Man, remember how enthusiastic we were? Like, wow, finally a real running game. Nope. Turns out it's just Joe Mixon being individually great. When they don't run the ball well, like, I don't know, yesterday against Tennessee, 14 carries for 22 yards for Mixon, it's because the O-line sucks. And make no mistake, the Texans' offensive line sucks right now. They suck at run blocking. They suck at pass protecting. They're stinky. They're putrid. They're pungent. They're soft. They are. The team is kind of soft right now. Now, this doesn't stop Bobby Slowik from running Joe Mixon into a brick wall to create second and long and third and long for his quarterback. He loves doing that, predictably so. I don't know what Bobby Slowik thinks he's coaching right now. He acts like he's coaching an elite Kubiak Shanahan offense. He acts like he's coaching the 1998 Denver Broncos with Terrell Davis in the backfield and John Elway at quarterback. And I don't know, man. The fact of the matter, he's coaching an offensive line that there's going to need to be changes after the season. They ain't figuring this thing out. They may improve a little bit, but there's serious changes that need to be made. Shaq Mason is washed. Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, I don't know what their give-a-shit factor is right now. Titus just isn't good. It's not good. So Bobby Slowik should be coaching for his job over these next five games. Should be. But we'll see, because loser number two, D'Amico Ryans, seems to be giving the offense a pass. He had a quote in the post game where he said it's not on the offense. The offense did enough to win this game. He put it on the defense. Concerning to me for a few reasons. The lack of self-awareness in that cut, concerning to me for two reasons. One, that's something a defensive coordinator says. D'Amico Ryans is a head coach. That's something a defensive coordinator says to his group. Okay, so that's number one. Is D'Amico presidential enough to be the head coach of this football team in terms of, and I'll get to another concern in a second here, but specific to putting it on the offense, dude, look at the stat sheet. 7 of the points came from a Jimmy Ward pick six. 10 of the 20 points the offense generated were directly from short fields that came from special teams. The first touchdown of the game, your first offensive drive was a 19-yard one-play drive for a touchdown. Your 3 of your points came from a muffed punt where the offense moved the ball 7 yards so that Kymie Fairbairn could kick a 54-yard field goal, something like that. So let's slow down. Okay, the 20 points the offense should 20 points have won a game against the Tennessee Titans? Probably so. And I'm not absolving the defense. I just said, other than the 8 sacks, that was really the only good thing the defense had going. But to make a distinction that one side did their job better than the other in that game is insulting and disgraceful. The offense generated 54 net yards in the second half of the game on 29 plays. So I'm taking the yards generated by, you know, through rushing and passing, and then I'm backing out the penalty yards in this because the penalties matter in this whole thing. 29 plays for 54 yards. And the head coach is saying the offense did enough to win this game. Hell no, they did not. That is an insulting quote to me. And I don't think D'Amico is trying to insult anybody. It's a post-game press conference. You say things. I get it. But maybe the most disturbing thing about the mess the Texans find themselves in is that the two beacons of hope for the future for this franchise, C.J. Stroud, who I will get to in a second, and D'Amico Ryans are showing some serious flaws right now. I'm still confident long-term that D'Amico will be a really good head coach in the NFL. In the last 6 weeks, he's not been a good head coach. And we're about to find out. This is the analogy I made on Twitter and on Payne and Pendergast. We're about to find out if he can be a what we'll call a wartime consigliere. If you watch the movie The Godfather, you know, the consigliere is the guy who's kind of the in the ear. He's a strategy guy for The Godfather. So I'm using the consigliere analogy a little loosely, but in terms of when I say wartime consigliere, there's a wartime consigliere, and then there's a consigliere that's better in times of booming business, a good time consigliere. And if you recall in the movie The Godfather, Tom Hagen, who was the adopted brother of the Corleone brothers and the adopted son of Vito Corleone, he got his stripes removed. He got his consigliere title taken away because he was a great consigliere when there was peace among the five families and business was booming because he was a lawyer and a really good business mind. But man, when things started going wrong and the five families were warring with each other, Tom Hagen was not aggressive enough and he just wasn't built for it. And that's my question with D'Amico. How is D'Amico at solving these very difficult offensive problems? He's not the defensive coordinator. He's the head coach. These are his problems to solve, especially because it looks like Bobby Slowick can't solve them. So somebody needs to solve them and do it pretty damn quickly, pretty fucking quickly. Can he fire guys who deserve firing? Is he overly loyal? Can he find people who can fix these problems or can he fix them himself? The answer so far with the biggest problem this team has faced is no, he can't because he's not fixed it yet. And it's been a thing all season. In his first year as head coach, he wasn't really faced, D'Amico, with any problems even close to what he's experiencing now, in large part because everybody, it's the first year and it's the honeymoon period. And let's face it, they overachieved last year. I think we're learning right now this season, they really overachieved last year. So good on D'Amico. He was able to do that and get it done really with energy, positive energy, a lot of young guys, C.J. Stroud getting it done. But this is by far the biggest crisis he's faced. And to this point, his solution has been to blame the offense, back Bobby Slowick, and talk about how they need to execute and how fixable the problems are. It's not working. So that's that. I think it's a huge question about D'Amico Ryans. This is a huge problem for this team. Can he fix it? Can he fix it now? Can he fix it in the offseason? So far, the solution, which has been to stay the course, back the offense, and really blame execution over coaching has been the solution, and it's getting worse. Number one on the four losers, C.J. Stroud. The magic is gone, for now, at least. C.J. was a tour de force last year, and that's given way to just a much more jittery version. very confusing decisions where he's leaning on this Steph Curry mentality to kind of brush away the interceptions as no big deal. Irresponsible ball security. Still showing those flashes of greatness. He's not completely broken. He still makes some amazing throws. And if this team ever fixes the offensive line and gets him a real offensive coordinator, the old Stroud will be back. That I'm confident. He's 23. So I'm confident in that. But I'll just say yesterday when the Texans got the ball back with 90 seconds to go on the possession after the Kiami missed field goal, I had zero confidence that they were going to be able to move the ball down the field and get it done. Last year, you give CJ a little bit of room. You give him a minute and he'll go down and he'll get you points. Even earlier this season, he did. You know, he did in the Jacksonville game. He did in the Buffalo game. This team is so inept in the second half of football games. How would I possibly expect them to drive from their own 8-yard line? Thanks for that, MJ Stewart, that penalty. How would I expect them at this point to drive from their 8-yard line to get into field goal range for a field goal kicker that just missed a 28-yarder? You're talking about moving the ball conservatively, moving the ball probably 60 yards, thereabouts. Their longest drive of the day was 78 yards, and other than that, it was a 55-yard drive. So they had one drive that was longer than 60 yards all day. One. The magic is gone. It can come back, but for now, the magic meter is on empty with CJ Stroud, and that sucks. And I don't even think he's fully to blame for it. I think they're doing a lot of things as a team that are breaking CJ Stroud, and it fucking sucks. All right, those are your four winners and four losers. Hoping for a happier one next week when they travel to Jacksonville. All right, I'm out of time. I'm going to go get some breakfast and try to wash the bad taste out of my mouth from that game yesterday. Appreciate everybody tuning into the podcast. Sorry, I forgot to flip it over to four losers. There we go. Oh, wait, that's Texans report card. Yeah, there we go. Four losers. Sorry about that. Fifth loser, Sean Pendergast, for forgetting to do his own graphics. But so the only people seeing that are the people on the YouTube. If you're listening on your phone, just forget the last 20 seconds of this podcast. Hey, quick reminder, send in your emails, houmailbag@gmail.com. Quick reminder, hit that subscribe button as well. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting the podcast out to all of you. And big thanks to all of you for listening. Let's go get it. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. You'll get a mailbag episode that you can sit, put your phone in the middle of the table with the whole family and listen to me answer your mailbag questions. I think it's a really good way to spend the holiday. Have me sitting at your table via your phone talking about a ratchet ass fucking sorry loss to the Tennessee Titans. And it'll come with a language warning and everything. Could there be F-bombs at the table? Sure. But if you're anything like my family, there's F-bombs at the table anyways. Let's face it, okay? All right, we're done. I'm out of time. Time to go eat. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you for the mailbag on Wednesday.